I would like to welcome everybody on this special Sabbath, Harvest Festival. Today, we have an extra international mix to our congregation, which we're a pretty international bunch anyway. But today, we are extra international. Norma, your husband called me from the boat, am I correct? Are you that Norma? Your husband Brian?
Yes,
okay, well please send our regards to him and welcome as well. Sherida, we're very pleased to have Sherida. Sherida has been part of our family, Sherida, is that what we would say? As you know, she's seen our kids grow up, and Sherida actually worked for the Hope Channel for a long time. So if you want to talk about the GC, the Hope, for those of you who knows what those mean, Sherida is the person to talk to. And then Sandia's family, okay, I've lost them. Well, oh, there she is, yes. It's so nice to have you. We've been praying for you all to arrive. We know you've been coming over, and it's lovely to finally have you here. You arrive just as Paul and Cindy fly to India for a holiday, but they're going to be back the end of October. And everybody else who is here, who is not a regular here, if you can, why not become a regular here? We're a friendly bunch. We really are. But it's lovely, lovely to have you here. For our scripture reading today, we have two scripture readings. We have our parable for today, which is going to be taken from Matthew 13. And I think it fits in beautifully with the topic of Harvest Festival. And then we have something that we're going to take from the Old Testament, from the Song of Solomon. Read that as well. So first of all, for our parable, Matthew 13, verses 51 to 52. I apologize, but I'm going to have to. I'm getting so much glare.
Let me do that.
That's not good. Can't read. I'll keep going while all that's taken care of. So we're going to be reading from Matthew 13, verses 51 to 52. So Matthew 13, verses 51 to 52. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles, whether they're e-Bibles or hard copy Bibles. I know I put the verses up on the screen, and it's always the New King James Version, which is up on the screen, but please open your Bibles as well and follow along. So Matthew 13, verses 51 to 52. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They, the disciples, said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." What a curious expression. Things new and old. Then we're going to go to the Song of Solomon. It's found in the Old Testament, around the Psalms area. That's a big, big, big book in the Old Testament. The Song of Solomon, and from Song of Solomon's chapter 7, verses 13. Chapter 7, verses 13. "The mandrakes give off a fragrance, and at our gates are pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, which I have laid up for my beloved." There's a lot in that, a lot in that. But it's one of those, that's a curious passage as well. Two curious passages. So today we are celebrating Harvest Festival. As I said, I can remember singing, growing up, "We Plough the Fields." That second hymn, I cannot remember it, but it's now gone into my book of favorite harvest ones. So that will appear again next year. I decided to go on to Wiki to get a definition of Harvest Festival, just to see what, if you type in Harvest Festival on your computer, what comes up. And this is what came up at Wikipedia. A celebration of the annual harvest, especially in Britain, once held in schools. Do you remember that? Those of you who grew up in Britain. Once held in schools and as a service in Christian churches to which gifts of food are brought to the for the poor. So we have before us gifts of food. After the service, as Pastor Walker said, we will not be consuming this during our fellowship lunch, but this will all be given to a charity. It will all go to a charity. Harvest Festival is a chance for the church to look back as well as look forward. To think of things old and things new. Things old, with Harvest Festival, we can say once again, the Lord has provided for us. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We can also, with confidence, look forward that God will continue to provide for us. And there is the spiritual application, that as we look forward, and we talked about this in Sabbath school, Norma talked about it in her children's story, that there will be the harvest. When Jesus comes again, he will come for those who are his own. And there will be the harvest. Those who have died in Christ will rise again. And those who are still alive at the time of Jesus, together we will be harvested for the Lord. So there is the old and the new. Treasures old, treasures new. I have to admit that the whole time that we lived, those of you who don't know, we've been back from America, California, for 2 years. We've been here for about 2 years now. The whole time we lived in California, I cannot remember us celebrating Harvest Festival. I don't know if churches over there celebrate Harvest Festival. If you look at it, if you go back to Israel and the feast they have, it probably Harvest Festival in the UK corresponds mostly to the Feast of Tabernacles. In gathering, it's at that time. And Israel would be celebrating the autumn or the fall harvest. And also looking back and looking forward. Treasures old, treasures new. But I cannot remember us celebrating Thanksgiving in America. Celebrating Harvest Festival in America. Probably because it falls around the same time as Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in America is on the 4th Thursday of November. And Thanksgiving, it's a different history, it's a different tradition, though a lot of Christians, a lot of the churches over there will look at it as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I used to love Thanksgiving. Sherida would often come to our house on Thanksgiving. The family would all come home. On the Thursday, the family get together, and you have this wonderful meal. And you have the most wonderful apple pie at that time of year, because all the apples are in harvest. And we lived by a place called Apple Hill, and it was just wonderful apple pies. And people would have their turkey, or their tofu turkey, or their veg turkey, veg bake, whatever you want to call it. And that Thursday, the family would be there around the table, and there would be American football on the television. They had back-to-back American football. And then they had, and the families, we would be doing games, especially my wife loves playing games, and my kids love playing games. I've never been any good at games. I'm always last, and I'd be like, I'm okay. Please go ahead and play a game. But they would, we would have that time. We always try to remember during Thanksgiving that Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We can be thankful for what we have this year, and we know that only as we go into next year, it's only as God provides for us. In the parable we just read, it's a short parable, and it comes at the end of Matthew 13. And it ends with that curious statement. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a household who brings out his treasures, things new, and if you like, things old. Do you see the italics there? Therefore, there we are. Brings out of his treasure things new and old. You see the italics on things? You often see that in your Bible, especially if you read the King James Version or the New King James. It means that word, in this case, we're in Matthew, so it's not in the Greek. So the literal translation is treasure, new and old. But the translators, to help with the reading, put in treasure, things new and old. And it flows nicely. Treasures new and old. Our second reading was taken from the Song of Solomon. And if you read there, so, and at our gates are pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, which I have laid up for you, my beloved. Do you notice what's in italics there? Pleasant fruits. We're in Songs here, so we're looking at Hebrew, but it's not there. Literally, it's at our gates are all manner, new and old, which I have laid up for you, my beloved. Again, the translators have put in pleasant fruits. So we have treasures, things, new and old. And we have at our gates, or fruits, all manner, new and old. And what is interesting is if you look in your Bible, some of the versions, when you look at that parable in Matthew 13, it will have a little footnote that points you back to this very verse. The New King James does. You can tell me if your version does. But it points you back to that very verse. Let's look a little bit more at Matthew 13, the parable in Matthew 13. It starts with, on the same day, Jesus went out the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. And so he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. That's the first parable. In Matthew 13, we have 8 parables recorded. 8. It starts, Jesus went out and sat by the sea. He went out from the house. Probably he's in Capernaum, and this is Peter's house. Probably. We don't know for sure. I think we all know what the sea is, the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 13 then continues, and Jesus tells 8 parables. The first 4, he speaks to all of the multitudes gathered there. The soils, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, and the leaven. And in that case, leaven is not used for sin. Leaven is used for the spreading of the gospel. Just means we need to be careful on our symbols. Should never say that leaven always represents sin. It does not. Then Matthew records, so we've got the first 4 parables, and then we read this. Matthew 13:36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the wheat." Jesus returns to the house that's mentioned at the beginning of Matthew 13. So he probably goes back into the house of Peter. He then explains one of the parables, and he proceeds to tell them another four parables. The parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, the parable of the dragnet, and then finally he comes to the parable we're thinking about today, which is the parable of the householder, and your Bible might have a different heading for it. But there is a reoccurring phrase in each of the parables. What do you think it is? In every single parable, all eight of those parables in Matthew 13, Jesus keeps coming back to one phrase. If you look at this one, this is from the first one. So Matthew 13:11. What is the phrase? Kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You come to the next parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. You come to the next parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. You come to the next parable, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. That's the first four that he told to all the multitudes. Then he goes back inside the house, continues with another four parables. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Go on to the next one. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Is there a picture emerging here? The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. And then the final one, the parable that we have for today. Again, we have it. Where is it? There it is. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And he asks in them, have you understood all these things? That's what he says to the disciples. Have you understood all these things? Their reply, yes, Lord. Call me Doubting Thomas. I'm not convinced they had understood all these things. I think they'd understood better, but they're like us. We understand so much. And then God often has to take us to the next level, and the next level, and the next level, and often reteach us certain things. And then we have this curious phrase here. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What a curious phrase. But surely it is no accident that that sentence contains the words kingdom of heaven and scribe. Kingdom, when we think of scribe, what do we tend to think of? Yeah, we think of the Old Testament. Things that have been written down. And then we have the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' kingdom. The new teachings that he's bringing. The new revelations that he's given to his disciples. The phrase kingdom of heaven in Matthew and corresponding phrase kingdom of God in Mark and Luke occurs 103 times in the New Testament. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' treasure things new, Jesus' teaching is all about the kingdom of God. his kingdom. But it builds on. It extends. It goes from what had been written before by the scribes. If we look at Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scripture we might have hope. Written before. There are those things that are things old, written before. And there are now the things that were written, the things new, based off the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' kingdom. If you like to think about this, you could say we have the Old Testament, the things old, treasure things old. We have the New Testament, the treasure, things new. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, recorded by the scribes, painfully recorded by the scribes, and handed on and handed on and handed on, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. One commentator puts it this way. We draw out the meaning of the Hebrew or the Old Testament scriptures, things old, while showing how they are fulfilled and apply in the kingdom age, things new. I hope that gives some food for thought about what is meant. A little bit. There's always more that Jesus means. You find that you unpack a little and there's always more. But things old, what the prophets, what the law, what the prophets were pointing to, things new, the teachings of Jesus. We never say the things new replace the things old. They build on them. They give us a complete picture. But let us not stop there. When we think of treasure, things new, things old, there is so much more here. And so let's look at this Song of Solomon. And at our gates are pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, which I have laid up for you, my beloved. Did you read that? Pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, which I have laid up in my storehouse for you, my beloved. At this rich autumn season, let us consider a little bit more. Pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, that are laid up for our beloved Lord. Let us take some time and survey our storehouses, because that will prove it one way or the other. So let's start. Let's start with the chief fruit, the most important fruit that we can have. Love is the chief fruit, the most important fruit. And remember, it says, pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old. So what about our old love for the beloved? Our first love for the beloved. It starts there. Our first love for the beloved. But it doesn't end there. What about our new love for the beloved, for the Lord? We have both, if you like. These are some dried apricots. The old love, the new love, the first love, and growing love. They are both equally important. I have to tell you, make a confession, that this week, my wife and I had to go to Bristol, and some people know why we had to go to Bristol, and we ended up staying at on the outskirts of Cardiff. It was actually cheaper to get a hotel in the outskirts of Cardiff than to get one in Bristol. Go figure. As we arrived at the hotel, it was a Premier Inn. As we arrived at the Premier Inn, I said to my wife on the outskirts of Cardiff, I remember when this was called the Post House. And I remember that my brother had his wedding reception here, and I had to give a speech as his best man. There was a pause. I think my wife was waiting for me to say something else. And then she said to me, yes, and we spent our wedding night here as well. Oops. I have a very gracious wife. I only had to spend a few hours in the cold before I could come in. But in all seriousness, in our storehouses, as we have our journey with the Lord, wherever you are on that journey, maybe you're at the first love. Wonderful. Wonderful. Or maybe you're further along. But what's important is that there is old love. And I don't mean old in a bad way there. But there is that mature, that old love, and the new love, the growing love, the growing experience that every healthy relationship needs. So that's our first fruit for today, love. But what about other fruits? What about other pleasant fruits? What other fruits should we think about when we think about old fruits and new fruits? Prunes. What about faith? Our first faith. The time we first believed. The time we went through the doctrines and were baptized. But it can't stop there. Because what about new faith? What about growing in faith? What about joy? Remember those first joyous days of being a Christian? Those wonderful first days? But what about new joy? New growth? That new fruit of joy in our lives? What about mercy? When we first realized the mercy of God, that He forgives us our sins through Jesus. But then as we go on, we need to keep appreciating that as we grow every day. So we have these fruits, these vegetables, new and old, together in our storehouses. And a healthy storehouse has both. Because yes, there's the old, which we look back on in remembrance, but there is the new, the growth. I'd like to illustrate this in finishing by looking at the life of Moses. Because I think there's a lot we can learn from Moses. Let's consider Moses at Sinai, in the very presence of the Lord. Thank you, Olive. He's at Sinai. And Moses has been through so much. The Lord had given him his storehouse, and the Lord had been filling his storehouse. Think about what Moses went through. He was called the burning bush. He asked, well, who am I? What's your name? I am what I am. Let's put that into the storehouse. His first faith, his first love. Then he goes to Egypt and he watches God time and time again working on the Egyptians. He sees all of those wonderful miracles. He's putting that into his storehouse. And then God brings them out of Egypt. And Moses sees that, and they come to this sea, and there's the pursuing army. And yet God opens up a way in the sea. Oh, I'm going to put that into my storehouse. Wonderful. And then they eventually get to the other shore, and they witness that sea consuming all of the Egyptian army. I'm going to put that into my storehouse. You're right, Elma, it's a whole bunch. I mean, Moses has his storehouse. The experiences he's had of God, the presence of God in his life that he's able to look back on. And he has this. And here he is at Sinai. And he's there at Sinai. And then we have this wonderful dialogue between God and Moses. He's brought him to Sinai. Moses' container is already full with the blessing of God. And there he is on Sinai. And the Lord says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Huh. If I was down there, I'd put some more fruit in there. Some more blessing into his storehouse. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Moses replies. Then he said to him, Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. God doesn't reply, I already told you that my presence will go with you. He doesn't say that. Even though Moses seems to be asking a question that God has just answered. But he doesn't say that. That's our God. That's our God. When we ask questions, he never mocks us. That's our God. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You have found grace in my sight. Okay, I think we need this one. I promise to put them all back. You have found grace in my sight. And God says to Moses, I know you by name. There's nothing big enough, and I'm not going to take that. So what happens then? What happens then? Does Moses stop at that point? Does Moses say, Lord, my container's full. My storehouse is full. You've blessed me beyond measure. Does Moses stop? Does he stop? Does he rest on his laurels? No. Moses says, Lord, please show me your glory. Yes, Moses is looking back. Yes, he loves the promises that God has given him. But he wants more. He wants more of God. And Moses is saying, yes, you told me at the burning bush, I am what I am. You've just said to me, you know my name. Lord, explain to me your name. Show me your glory. Things old, leading into things new. Lord, I need even more of you, even more of your glory. And how does the Lord reply? Then the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Note that. Note that. Because he's just said, the Lord just said to Moses, I know your name. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And then the Lord says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. The Lord is saying to Moses, you know what, Moses? I've blessed you. I've given you blessing on blessing. I've given you grace on grace. But because you desire me, because you seek me, I'm going to show you even more of myself. But Moses, here's the problem. You need a bigger container. Your container is too small. Moses, you need a much bigger container. So who's going to help me? Daniel. I'm going to have you hold that, actually. I'm going to have you hold, because we're going to put all this in here. Because we don't want to lose the old. We never want to lose the old. Those treasures old. But Moses, you need a much bigger container for me. And then we're going to put some more in. You just stay there a minute, Daniel. Please. You're going to need a much bigger container. Because I am gracious. I am compassionate. But you see, Moses, even with that larger container, you can sit down, thank you. Even with that larger container, there's still a problem. There's still a big problem, Moses, because you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. There is not a container big enough that you can have in this life. Because whatever container you have, God's storehouses, his riches in Christ, are bigger. But don't worry, Moses. Don't worry. I've got this. You're not ready to see me face to face. You're not able to see me face to face based on where you are in your journey. But where you are on your journey, I've got more blessing for you. You still need a bigger container, but there's even bigger containers. You're not ready for that yet, but you need this container. And God blesses him. And this is what the Lord says. Okay, Moses, I got this. Here is a place by me. Come by me. And you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back. Because when you see my back, it will cause your container to overflow. But my face shall not be seen. My face is not for now. That's for later. It will come later. when we will be face to face with the Lord. But now, just his back will overfill whatever container we have. Here's the conclusion, and I preach to myself before I preach to anybody. Here's the conclusion. When we spend time with God, when we seek God, God will fill us. And as he fills us, we want to spend more time with God. And we need bigger containers. And as we do that, God will fill us. And as he fills us, we want to spend more time with God. And we need bigger containers. That's the lesson from Moses. And it's blessing on blessing on blessing. And what gets in the way of that is sin. And if that happens, we have to confess it and get back up there. A bigger view of God. Bigger thoughts of God. A bigger experience with God. Because in the end, only God can give us bigger containers. And only God can fill those containers. Our role is to keep asking and to keep saying yes to him. But he gives us the bigger container. He fills that container. Treasure things new and old. Pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old. As each of us look at our storehouses, may that be what is true of us. Lord, according to your sure word and promise, make it so in each of our lives. Amen.
Dust and corn husks drifting through the air tonight. The marching band's warming up under the football lights. There's tractor trailers backed up down by the elevators. Train track grain car will roll in later. Get filled up and head on. Church bells chime, it's harvest time. There's a thermos and a water jug rolling around in the cab. A set of socket wrenches wrapped up in a greasy red rag. Bobby's mother pulls in the field bringing us supper. We grab a bite and make sure to hug her. Saddle back up and let the big wheels roll. It's harvest time in this little town. Time to bring it on in. Pay the loans down. Fill the diesel tank up and make another round. There's a big red moon coming up in the sky. Combines cutting in a staggered line. The only time of year we miss the church bells chime. It's harvest time. At a quarter till two, I kick off my boots in the laundry room. We'll start it all over tomorrow at noon. Till it's all done. Two.